Right, y'all. I just want to take a quick second to talk about our sponsor, Sunbasket. I don't know if you know this about me, but I am not a big fan of grocery shopping or meal planning or anything that goes along with any of that. But I do very much care about eating healthy. But when you don't like to grocery shop or plan meals, it is really hard to cook healthy dinners for your family. And that's where Sunbasket comes in. They're a team of dietitians and chefs that design wholesome, nutritious, and delicious meal kits delivered to your door. Each week, you can choose from a brand new selection of quick and easy meal kit recipes with a wide variety of dietary options, plus dozens of snacks, salads, breakfast items, and more. And you can pick and choose from recipe options like vegetarian, Mediterranean, carb conscious, the list goes on. We just had orzo bowls with broccoli, sun-dried tomatoes, and pea stew, and it was delicious. My kids even liked them. I can't speak to Sunbasket more. I love them. Thanks to Sunbasket's commitments to clean ingredients and organic fresh produce, there's no easier way to eat your very, very best. You just have to go to sunbasket.com/queerfam today to save $120 across your first four deliveries. That's sunbasket.com/queerfam to save $120, y'all, across your first four deliveries, plus free shipping on your first order. Go do that. Get some healthy food. There you go. This episode is sponsored by Feather Snack. Okay, hold on, y'all. I have to tell you about something that my wife got us into and that my whole family is loving now. Brace yourselves. It's the Feather Snap Scout Smart Bird Feeder. Yes, I said bird feeder. This thing is so cool, and it offers a brand new way to connect with nature and learn about the birds right in your own backyard. Or, if you're like us, living in New York City, it's in your friend's backyard in the country, and you get to use the app connected to it to learn all the stuff. It's got this high-resolution camera that connects to an app, so you can check out a live stream from your feeder. You can take photos and videos of the birds that visit. You can ID the species using expert-trained AI, and you can earn badges along the way. You can even, y'all, learn fun facts about hundreds of species. For example, did you know that American crows can recognize and remember people's faces? And they can even teach their young who's a friend and who's a foe? I know that now. Did you? Seriously, the Feather Snap Feeder is entertaining, it's educational, and it's just a whole bunch of fun for the whole family. Check them out today at feathersnapcam.com. That's feathersnapcam.com. This episode is brought to you by Modern Fertility and the new podcast, Kids These Days. We're happy to have them on board, making the show a possibility. We really are.
Oh my God,
are.
We so are.
Woo! We are. Welcome to If These Ovaries Could Talk. I'm Jamie.
I'm Robin.
And we're your hosts.
We sure are.
I am a lesbian.
So gay.
We need to tell our story.
It's not your nuclear family anymore. It's not just your mom and dad thing.
We're not ruining these little humans.
Not for the gay reason. Just
because
we stay.
Hi, guys.
Hi, everybody. Hi.
Day 695,000 of quarantine. Here we are.
I know. Still pride. We're still trapped.
People protesting in the streets, Black Lives Matter, trans Black Lives Matter. We stand in solidarity.
But we did just get some good news.
We did
last week.
Listen, and in a sea of bad news, Robin, like it has just been bad news after bad news.
I know. That's why I was like, we got to talk about good news.
We do. So what happened, Robin? What happened?
The Supreme Court, a conservative Supreme Court, and I was really nervous about this. We talked about this case with Anthony in our lawyer questions at the beginning of the season, mm-hmm. but the Supreme Court ruled that they cannot discriminate against LGBTQ employees.
It's amazing.
And I didn't think it was going to happen. No. I was afraid it was going to get struck down.
It came as a real shock. It came as a real shock to everybody. So basically, you cannot be fired for being for your sexuality.
Sexual orientation.
Yeah, thank you. Sexual orientation or gender.
It was always gender, but what Trump was doing and his administration was trying to say that gender did not also apply to sexual orientation. And surprisingly enough, like some conservatives dissented and, well, not dissented, I guess. I mean, I guess that's the wrong way to say it, but some conservatives came over to our side and said that it should be protected. Look at us.
I know. Look at us. I guess everybody was shocked that it was Gorsuch who actually came over to our side, and he actually even wrote the opinion. It's amazing.
I know. Crazy.
Thank you.
It's just like you said, just like nice to have a little bit of good news.
But we're still, you know what? There's still so much happening. There's still, we still got to fight. So,
yes,
you know.
But today we do this.
Take the win. And then carry on. Carry on. Is that a song?
Just made it up. I don't know. I think you just made it up. All right. Well, we also want to thank some of our new folks who are joining our Patreon community, mm-hmm. right? We got a special thank you to our newest members, Hannah Fletcher, Ashley Duvall. And then we have an interesting one. I'm calling her Emily with the hard last name to pronounce.
That's a good way to do
because it. Because I emailed her and asked her how to pronounce it. And she was just like, oh, don't worry about it. But I still feel like you joined our community and you're supporting us. And we need to say that Emily with a hard last name to pronounce is supporting us. So thank you, Emily with the hard last name to pronounce.
Thanks, Emily with a hard last name. I think she should become a new character on the podcast. Helen. Can you get in contact with Emily?
Jamie, Helen is jealous of Ellen with the hard last name to pronounce.
Uh-oh.
Helen, we're not firing
you. Just take
you.
It easy.
Can you just...
Helen.
Oh, my
God,
now
she's never going to stop. She's not going to stop
now
for like an
so
hour.
She's so sensitive. Oh. She's like ranting in the kitchen.
Helen, we love you. Oh, you let her in the kitchen?
I mean, well, she's cooking lunch. It's fine.
But
gotta earn her keep.
Seriously, if you'd like to join our Patreon community, you're going to get all kinds of bonus content. You get some video of the episodes because now that we Zoom, we video everything, and that might continue after this quarantine. Look, we've grown so much since the quarantine. We're learning new tricks wherever you go.
New tech.
You know, so swag for joining, all kinds of stuff. You can just head over to patreon.com/ovariestalk, and you're going to get all kinds of stuff. I also want to mention that the videos are ad-free. If you don't like our beautiful ads.
How do you not like our beautiful ads? Fantastic.
We write them ourselves, guys.
We do. We have fun with them. All right, we're moving on, Helen.
She's doing the roll the finger thing.
Okay. I closed the door on Helen. All right, listen. We have Sean T and his husband, Scott Locker.
Also known as
Scotty B.
Scotty B. You guys know, we've been talking about Sean T a lot because he has a new podcast.
Sean T is sweating right now.
So he has a new podcast coming out, which everybody should go check out. It's called We Are Family.
We Are Family.
But also, I know Sean T from way back in the day because I have been following. He's a workout guru.
Jamie, I just want to be clear. You don't actually know Sean T. You stalking Sean T on fitness apps does not mean you know him.
I have been doing, like, I did all of his stuff. He's the founder of Insanity. He's one of the guys of Beachbody. Like, he is in it. He's in the workout world, and I love him.
And Scott's a former professional athlete. I mean, these two are just like a power couple.
They're
like
hotties.
With just like rippling abs.
I look like that too.
I can't believe they didn't do the interview with their shirts off. I was a little disappointed.
Did he not take his shirt off? His shirt is always off, Sean T.
He didn't. He actually wore clothes during the interview.
How
and I was like, why?
How dare you, Sean T?
How dare you?
How dare you? Anyway, come on. Let's get into this. Helen, can you roll the tape, please? Please.
Roll the tape. Please.
Oh my God.
Hi, Scott and Sean T.
Sean T and Scott.
Hi.
What's up?
Oh my God, we are so excited.
We're amazing. We just got done working out. I might be a surprise to people that we actually got done working out, but we're sitting here.
We're hot and sweaty.
Yes, we are.
No pun.
Sean T is sweating right now. I hear you say that all the time because I work out with you, Sean T.
Well, I love it.
I'm glad you still wanted to talk to me, even though you work out with me all the time.
No, listen, I'm kind of fangirling right now. I'm not kind of, I'm totally fangirling. Because
so nice.
I'm like, yes, I can do it, Sean T. I can do it.
Well, here's the thing. To eliminate the angst that you feel when you see Sean T, I have, because we've been in quarantine, I have a mini afro. So just make pretend that it's not the Max 30 Sean T, it's the T25 Sean T.
I love it. Well,
but
you look
guys,
beautiful.
Like, you post working out, like your hair is happening.
Gorgeous.
Like, and you're both glistening. Like after working out, I look like a tomato and like a cesspool on my head. Like it's not happening the way it is for you two, which is a little upsetting.
We are in our transformation center. So we did get a chance to jump in the shower really fast. So that's the only reason why we look somewhat put together. Because this hair, when I tell y'all like 5 minutes ago or 8 minutes ago, was a night. Mayor.
And he's perfectly lit us. We have Vaseline over the camera. Hey, we have We are.
I love the gay men. Like Jamie and I are just gay. Like, we showed up and we put some eyeliner on and we're like, and we feel like we did something big and important.
Robin, you put eyeliner on?
Well, I did mascara. That's fine.
How dare you? I didn't even do that. No, us lesbians, we're always I joke all the time that your kids, you boys' kids, always look so much more together than our lesbian kids.
Like, I don't know about ours, y'all. For real?
No?
No.
Silas has curls for days. And I tell you what, when you see that genuine kid of the curls, you know, as a kid, you're like, wow, those curls are amazing. His curls are curls on curls on curls. And they, like, he wakes up in the morning and they're all natted
and he doesn't need product.
And I'm like, poor kid. I would love to have your curls, but I just don't know what to do with them right now.
I'll tell you, they get dressed every day. So I will say that. But they, most of the time, I would say like 50% of the time, they just have on their diaper. Well, Sander likes to wear clothes. Like he picks his clothes out in the morning. He's like very meticulous on what he wears. He knows what matches. It's crazy.
He changes his outfit at least once or twice throughout the day. He's like, I want, and these are the shoes I want to wear. And so
yeah. And Silas is
a diaper.
Diaper, wants to take his shoes off, wants to play on dirt and water and be a scientist.
Amazing.
This is so good. We got to get into it. But before we get into all this and your whole family, you have to give us your 30-second elevator pitch of who you are. And one of you can do it, or you can both do it together. You can bounce off each other. It's up to you.
Why don't you go and jump in.
When I pause you.
All right.
I got it.
And I have the official timer clock right here.
Oh, I love that.
No stress, no pressure. Okay. On your mark, get set, go.
I'm Sean T.
And I'm Scotty B.
And we are the Blockers. Most people know me as Sean T, but when I'm home, I am a blocker.
And we have two kids via surrogacy that took us 5 years to have it and lots and lots of money. And now we have them and we are two.
And we have them and sometimes we're like, what the hell did we just do?
Can we give them back?
They're amazing twins. They're super smart. They're very energetic and fun. And we love them.
And can we give them back?
And yeah, we're not having any more.
28
that was
seconds.
Perfect.
Well done.
You know what? We're going to get along with you very well.
Yes, you are. Yes, you are.
Can we please give our kids to someone? Each have two kids with different wives. We are not together. We have to make sure everybody knows that.
You know, that was the first question I asked. I was like, are they together? He said no.
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 And when everybody asks us that, we're always like, no. And then we're like, no.
I mean, we like each other. It's cool. No, we both have two kids each with our wives, and we want to give them back all the time.
Yeah,
because it's so much work.
It literally makes me feel normal when you say that.
Yeah,
it needs to be said. People need to say this on air so that other parents can feel okay about their feelings. This is my feelings.
I think for me, my realization, I do a lot of thinking in my head. I have always done it. I know it's because growing up gay and I didn't have anyone to really look. I mean, the two people I knew about were Billie Jean King and Martina Navratilova, and they were both like ostracized for being an athlete because I was a professional athlete. And so I spent a lot of time in my head trying to figure out what's going on and how I can get rid of it and all these things. And I realized over this last week that I really like to work. I really like to succeed. I really like to spend time with my husband. And when I do all of those things, it pulls me away from my kids. And that's when the guilt happens. And I'm thinking to myself, well, if I spend a lot of quality time with them, I should be able to spend quality time with myself or my husband. So one of the things that we do is on the weekends, I will spend the night. We're very fortunate that we have a transformation center, which we have beds in, and we can spend the night away from the family. So Saturday night or Friday night is my night to go and spend the night away from the family, sleep in, spend a day for like up until 4 p.m. And then I come back and then he goes and does that. So when I come back at
that's the most amazing thing I've ever heard of.
It was his idea. It was his idea. And when I come back, I am so energized. I will do anything for the kids, whatever. And I see my husband is like, I'm like, you can go. You can go, babe balls. It's okay.
But you know, but I want you to connect to something though.
Yeah.
Like, cause I know you feel guilty because I used to travel a lot before the pandemic and everything. And you notice how when you come home, like they scream.
It is the most amazing feeling. Yeah. Silas will scream at the top of his lungs. Sander gets the smile on his face that just, I won't give you back. Like, I will keep you for another 12 hours. And
we'll keep you for another 20 minutes.
We'll decide.
What do you do in the transformation center when you're alone? Do you just sit in your underwear?
Or naked?
What I do, so he comes home on We actually spend the night together on Friday night. It's like our date night. His parents will watch the boys overnight. But then I'll leave after we work out in the morning so that I go and I keep the boys all day. And then he comes home. But when I'm here, I actually sleep out in a casita, which is kind of like the little outhouse, if you will. Not outhouse.
The mother-in-law house.
Yeah, the mother-in-law suite. And it's like cozy and nice, has bunk beds. I get in and I challenge myself to stay in bed for 12 hours. So
yes.
I'll get in bed at like 9:30, 10 o'clock p.m. I'll either watch Netflix or listen to podcasts or whatever. And I put a little timer and I cannot, unless I have to go to the restroom, obviously. But I stay in the bed for 12 hours and I usually do like a 16 to 18 hour fast, you know, just kind of reset my body. But I'm in my underwear. That was the point of that.
Oh my God.
And sometimes nothing.
That sounds so delightful.
You guys are better than us on many
Jamie,
fronts.
How do we get a transformation center?
I know. I know.
But let me tell you this. You don't need a transformation center. My friends in the UK, she and her husband, she said to me one day, she was like, we can never do that. We can never do that. And they just started doing it 2 weeks ago where one of them will wake up and they would take care of the kids. The other one could stay in the room. They could go to the coffee shop, read a book. Well, not coffee shop because they can't go anywhere. But she said that it's glorious. But people don't think to do that. Like, I'd rather one of us be stressed than both of us be
stressed. The reason why I think we're doing it is because after we had our kids, the first 4 months were ultimate hell. Like, it was, as everyone knows, no sleeping, no looking at your spouse. It was so focused on the kid. And we got into a ton of fights. And like I've always said,
I won. No, I'm kidding.
There was a time when, because I was the one that pushed us through the 5-year journey to have kids, I was like, I truly feel I have ruined my relationship with my husband. Like, I was authentic. Like, there was after one fight, I'm sitting in the closet bawling and I'm like, what did I do? Like, why did I do this? And it was maybe a week later or something. He came to me and he's like, well first, we hired help because we were able to. And they were amazing. These just people, love them, along with our parents. And then he was like, we're going on a date night. And I was like, I don't want him to go on a date night. Like, we don't need to. I'm fine, whatever. And the minute I took a shower and put clothes on, I was a whole new person. And I remember sitting at the restaurant having a drink. And I was like, this is one of the best days of my life.
Aww. Yeah, because you've been in the trenches.
Yes. And I realized then that you need to re-energize. Or Sean says, we were looking down instead of looking at each other.
Deep.
If you don't take care of this, then you can't take care of the kids.
It's interesting you say that because we talked to, we call her Lisa the therapist. We had her on a couple seasons ago and she's like our resident therapist that we call in for things. And she recently just told us, because we did this pandemic Facebook Live where we talk about how you're dealing. And she recently told us to do just what you're saying. She said, schedule time just for you. I was like, oh yeah, that's amazing. We're going to do that. I'm going to take this whole half of the day, or maybe I'll take a day. I said I was going to do all that. Did I do it? No. Mm. So, you know, good for you guys for doing it. It's hard. It's hard to take that.
You know, for me, when we first had the boys, you know, they were in a NICU for 3 weeks. And then we got home, like our plans were completely ruined. We had like 6 weeks of planned out that we were going to travel and like visit friends, and then they came and they completely ruined it. The night we were supposed to leave.
8 weeks early? I think they were seven and a half weeks early.
So we had them and we came home, but then I had my book tour soon after. So I was able to travel. I was sleeping in a hotel. Like, I knew what it was like to be able to sleep a full night, and work, you know, speaking became nothing because I was like, I'm actually getting sleep. So then that's when I said to him, I was like, and he's the kind of person, he's like, I got this, I got this, I got this, I got this, I got this. And I'm like, you have to literally experience what it's like to be on the other side. Like, and so when we did that, it was
life changing around.
It's hard to do that because of the guilt. Like, for me, it's guilt. Like, I feel bad putting both my kids on my wife, which is ridiculous because they're her mom too. And she is the same way. And we have so much guilt.
People spend, I don't know, you get that weekly report on your iPhone that says how much time you spent on it or on the internet or on your social media. If you took 10 minutes or 20 minutes a day instead of going on your phone or doing something for yourself, you realize you could actually make time for yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a good point. Ay, ay, ay. Okay, everyone, we have a new podcast to tell you all about.
Oh, yes, yes. And this one I'm really excited about. Mm-hmm. It's called Kids These Days, and it's a new podcast hosted by teens about teens.
Oof.
Come on. The show offers an unfiltered look at teenage life, what they're thinking about, laughing about, which is usually probably us, and stressing about. Yeah. My kids, I mean, Maxine's like minutes away from being a teenager, so I am so excited to get started on this one.
Yeah, you need to listen to this. And on this podcast, they cover everything. Listen to this. From first kisses to vaping to coming out as a queer teen to life at home during the coronavirus. I mean, they're not holding anything back. We're finally going to get to hear teenagers share things.
Oh, can you imagine?
Which is exciting.
Okay. So everybody, you have to check out Kids These Days. It's a new limited run podcast from Community High School in Ann Arbor and Michigan Radio's Peabody award-winning team. Check that out.
Check it out. You're going to want to head over to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts and subscribe now to Kids These Days.
Yeah, I need insight before my daughter gets there so I know what's happening.
You really do. And then you have to warn me.
On it.
Honestly, before we get into how you made your family, I wanted to talk a little bit about, you're both in the fitness industry. And you're gay, which is, I feel like it's rare. Like when I found out, Shanti, I've known you since Hip Hop Apps. Like I've been, I have been with you, my friend. I didn't know you were gay. And then when I found out you were gay, I was like, yes, because I've never, I was even a personal trainer for a little while in my life.
So,
and it's so, like, it's such a straight guy world. So what's it like being in the fitness industry and meeting each other and coming out? How did that all go down? And then hopefully we can relay that into the
children. Well, it's interesting you say that because my experience being in the fitness industry was the exact opposite. Oh. I started in group exercise. So like my entire world was Richard Simmons. Mm-hmm. And then, I mean, there was Billy Blanks too, but you know, I was inspired by Richard Simmons. And then I started going to group fitness conventions and group fitness. A lot of the guys that are on the stage are gay. And when you walk in there, the gay fitness instructors and the straight fitness instructors, fitness is a completely different, group fitness is a completely different type of family. Well, back then, now it's completely different. Everybody loves everybody, really. But then, you know, and then there were lesbians there who you didn't know. Like these, you know, when I grew up, it was like a lesbian looked like this, just like gay people look like this. And so you had this mix of people, and then all of a sudden you're like, oh, she has a girlfriend, and oh, he looks like a hardcore, you know, buff personal trainer, but he's gay. So for me, I never, once I came out to my family, I was like, I don't need to be out, I mean, I don't need to be in anymore. So, you know, there was this thing that happened where when we got married, and we could talk about how we met, but when we got married, people like, Shanti comes out via Twitter. I'm like, what? I'm like, it was so hilarious. Like Gawker.com and like all the whatever, it like went crazy. Like Shanti's gay. I'm like, I done been with more men than you. So like, I don't know what you're talking about. Anyway.
I've been gay this whole time.
Right. I've been gay the whole time. So, but anyway, but you know, Scott was more, he actually wasn't in the fitness industry. He was a professional athlete, a model, and then he was in the business. But that, he had a completely different experience. Like I was like, I mean, obviously I got teased when I was younger, but as I got older, I'm like, just because I'm gay don't mean you can beat me up. So like, come with it. Like I'm here for it. And I grew up in the hood, so I was always ready. You know, so me and Scott, we're two different, like he talks a lot about how he got teased and how it really impacted him. And I'm like, I don't care what people think about me. Like, I mean, I did, but I was in a place where I was so supported and my industry was very supportive.
And my industry was the antithesis of that. Like it was, you are not supposed to show any sort of weakness. You are, you know, all of these stereotypes for an athlete and then a collegiate athlete and then a professional athlete. It was just, you know, so that's why I spent a lot of time in my head, as I said earlier.
Yeah.
So let's transition and talk a little bit about how you, because you guys had a journey to make your family.
Yes.
Let's talk about when you decided you wanted to have kids and how you were going to make your choices of how you're going to go about it.
So picture it, Sicily, 1920. We were, it was 2010. We were both in relationships with other people. We were on a gay hookup site because we weren't happy in our relationships and we found each other.
Here's a little caveat though, because I actually had talk to the person I was with. And very I was true. Like, I'm not into this anymore. And he was trying to hold on to it. So
and don't be my, trying to act like no,
I'm
no,
in the same position
okay.
as you.
I'm fully, we are in an honesty circle right here. We, you know, because no one's going to hear this but us.
You have the talking stick.
Yeah. So my relationship was, I was in a relationship for, I don't know, 6 or 7 years or so. And I was not happy. And I thought, well, my parents have been together for 50 years. So I guess this is what I'm supposed to do. And just not be happy. And yeah. I knew my ex was messing around and I confronted him about it and he continued to do it. And I said, well, I'm gonna show him. And I'm lucky I did, because if I didn't, I wouldn't have found him. So
amazing.
So we met in 2010 on October 12th, 2010, got married on October 12th, 2012. So 2 years.
Oh, you got married on the same day you met?
Yes.
Aww. So did we, my wife and I did too.
Yes.
On accident, though. We didn't realize it. And a friend pointed it out.
That's so hilarious.
So then Hurricane Sandy came through New York. I think it was Sandy, right?
2012.
Yeah.
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 Sounds right.
So we were forced out of our apartment a little bit because we were living in Manhattan. We were Roosevelt Island, I think, at the time. And we went to his friend's house in Jersey. And her partner had kids via fertility. And we were speaking. And they gave us the name of their doctor and Sean sent an email. And by January of 2013, our journey started.
Yeah. So yeah, they had kids with a fertility doctor. One of them carried the first kid and the other one carried a set of twins. So they had three and we went to visit them. So we started with the doctor.
I remember the meeting in January of 2013 because the reason why I remember it is because we went in thinking, okay, this is going to be easy. Like one and done, two times and done, you know, we're going to go do our thing in a cup. They're going to put it in another cup. They're going to make things and then everything's going to be easy. Wham, bam, thank you, ma'am. And as we're about to leave the conversation, the doctor says, so I just want to warn you that there are some families who go through a struggle to have kids. And you may, while you have this picture of what you want for your family, you may have to alter it or open your mind to other things because it may not work. And I remember thinking, this guy is crazy. Like, there is no way in hell that this is going to be us because we're healthy guys. We have healthy sperm. We had our sperm checked. It was like, you know, the woman at the time that we had as our egg donor was healthy. She was in fitness. And it was like, great, here we go. And that did not happen.
No, I guess
did,
not.
Did, the egg donor that you had that was in fitness, did you use a service or did you, was it someone you knew?
For all of our egg donors, we use a service. Mm-hmm. So the first egg donor was in fitness. And then after that, we didn't care. We were just like, we need to do it. So it was 6 egg donors, 5 surrogates later.
Two doctors,
5 years.
Uh-huh. Lots of money.
Later. Yeah, lots of money. But you know, it was interesting just, you know, because you brought up the fitness thing, there was the final time that we couldn't find at an egg donor. And I said to him, we had just gotten into a huge fight. It was like terrible, you know, because the emotion of all of that,
the pressure.
It's so crazy. Like we know that, you know, heterosexual couples have to deal with the actual act of intimacy and producing a kid on their own. Whereas same-sex couples, a lot of times it's like you have zero control. Right? Mm-hmm. There's zero control and you're still trying to blame yourself or is it this person's fault? So like both same sex and heterosexual couples, there's a similar thing that's happening, which is the stress just really can take over the relationship when you're trying to have a baby. However, so the last time we got into this huge fight, I was like, I'm finding our egg donor today. I was like, I'm putting on my sixth sense energy hat, my positive thought. And I sat down on the couch and within a couple hours.
I was sitting at the kitchen table. You're on the couch. You're like, here she is.
I was like, this is the one. I was like, she's the one. Because I've read her bio on the egg donor website. And it said, hi, my name is X. And then when she started to write up her profile, she said, my name is X. And she's
Y, actually,
is,
not
is
X.
Y. Her name is Y. She actually gave her real name in the write-up. And I was like, this person's honest. It just was something about it. I was like, this is her alias, but she still couldn't not say her. She had to say who she really was. And I just thought that was so powerful. Anyway, it happened to be without obviously giving her away, but she's literally like a mixture of me and Scott in personality, in look. It was just crazy. And I just felt that it was right. After we had changed to our second doctor, we went we donated more sperm in the inspiration room. And so we had a surrogate that was in Texas, and she didn't get pregnant for like a third or fourth try with us. And it was really tough because we love her. We're still really close to her to this day.
Now, mind you, she was the Super Bowl of surrogates, right? She had 8 kids or so via surrogate, as a surrogate. So it was like the 0 for 10 people were going against the 8-0 person. And it was like, who's going to win? And unfortunately, we won. But
she wasn't able to have our kids. And so...
Did you make the decision to break it off? Or was it a mutual?
We did.
That had to be a very hard conversation, I would assume.
Every single one of them.
Ugh.
So you had to pick your first egg donor. That took a lot. That was hard, very hard. And you used an agency for that. And you used the same agency to pick your surrogate.
No, the doctor had a surrogate. She was new and wanted to work with our doctor. So, So then we started with her. We tried twice with her, 2 unsuccessful times, horrible breakup. You know, it's like speed dating on crack. And then, as anyone knows who wants to try and have kids, it is emotional, not only because of the drugs they're putting into their body, but because the surrogate's goal thinks, my goal is to help you have a kid. And if that doesn't happen, she thinks it's her fault, or we think it's our fault. So, and then, you know, we started telling everyone that we were trying, and our first attempt, when we told everyone we tried the first attempt and then it failed, we're like, we are never telling anyone again, because it was horrible.
Actually, it was the second time because she got a positive pregnancy test. So the second time, you know, we were so excited and we like called her friends like, oh, she got a positive pregnancy test. And then like 2 days later, you know, it fizzled out. But so it was crazy.
On your first try, how many embryos did you get? Do you remember?
Okay. So here's the crazy thing.
Here we go.
Our very first egg donor, the very first egg donation that she gave, 81 eggs.
What? Oh my God.
81.
Stop it. Hold the phone.
And then our second donation was even like 75 or something.
What?
Whoa. And you were always trying to both of you fertilize eggs, right?
Yes.
Every time, yeah.
So you were always trying to get twins or trying for the best possible odds.
Correct.
Okay. So you had any of your surrogates, you said ahead of time, like, we're hoping for twins. We're doing 2.
Yeah. Because that's part of the... They all knew we wanted to try and have twins.
Yeah.
And our second surrogate was our sister-in-law. So it was a little bit easier. I mean, the funny story is, I said to Scott one day, I said, because, you know, we didn't have a surrogate. And I said, you know, I should ask Nicole. And she, my brother's wife. And they're not together anymore. It's fine. Not a big drama deal. But, you know, so I texted my brother. I was like, can y'all have our kids?
Can you imagine that text?
And he's like, and so... We're driving to like a restaurant. I think it was Smash Burger, actually. We were like, we need a burger. And my brother texted me back. He's like, of course you would ask me something like that over text message. And then he was like, of course we will do it. Just like that. It was like, amazing. No questions asked. No, this was within minutes, y'all. Like,
wow. Did they already have kids? Obviously, they had kids.
Right, yeah.
So you knew she could do it.
They didn't want any more kids. They were like, fine. You know, they had 1 older and 1 younger. And
so that wouldn't have been through an agency. That would have just been like, you just are going to go forward.
Right. Yeah, that was her. Yeah. And we couldn't pay her. So
because of the state, she lived in New Jersey. So you can't pay a surrogate.
And like they really wanted to do it just out of pure love. And so she actually got pregnant on the first try. And
we
were super excited. Like, you know, we went through the whole like, oh my gosh, like, I don't like the way this tastes. I don't like the way that smells. Like, she went through the whole thing. And then I guess we went to check to see if there was a heartbeat. Oh, no,
She started bleeding.
She went to the hospital and, you know, they told her she had a miscarriage. I was traveling. Scott had to meet her in New York City.
I flew to Philly so we could ride the train together because it was her and her son and Ennis, his brother had to stay. So we drove up to New York or went up on the train together so she could have the procedure to remove
the DNC.
Yeah.
The DNC.
And for everyone,
so then after that, you're like, you're not going to make her do it again after that, because it's like you're in this horrible.
No, she was I'm doing this again.
Very,
really?
Very, she did it. She tried six times.
She tried six times.
So five more times after that, she was like, let's do this. Let's do this. And then after the sixth try, they still wanted to go, but we're like, the doctor's saying that it something is not working.
I know what he says. Something has to change. It's a sign. I know this guy. I look at it scientifically. If something's not working, you have to change the formula in one way, right? That's what he said.
Right.
But here's the crazy thing. January 2016, we tried with her. She didn't. It didn't progress any further. And then, so we met another surrogate, blah, blah, blah. A month and a half later, Nicole calls us and is like, I'm pregnant.
What?
This is your sister-in-law.
Yeah. This is my sister-in-law. Her and my brother had sex, and he pulled out. Oh. And she still got pregnant. So she found out a month and a half later, but didn't. No. She got pregnant a month and a half later, but didn't find out until May, because she was like, I'm not pregnant. They had been. We sent them on a vacation.
We're like, y'all need to go to drink and have fun and get.
They sure did drink and have fun.
Yes, they drank to have fun. They came to my birthday in May. Like, we were like throwing back mimosas like it was the Last Supper. Like, the whole nine. 2 weeks after my birthday, or my birthday brunch, she was like, y'all will never guess. I am, I think, 14 weeks pregnant or something.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. That had to be so hard for her to tell you.
Oh, yeah.
It was very tough.
I was forcing the math. I was like, are you sure it's not ours?
Yeah.
She went to her doctor. She was like, yeah. Are you sure this is not the guy's? And she was like, it's impossible.
Oh. Wow. God, that's hard.
I would have had that same thought, too. I would have been like, are you sure that's not my baby?
Oh, I know.
It was tough.
Hey, Jamie, You know that we get asked by a lot of listeners what they can do to get prepared to make an LGBTQ baby.
Yes.
And we usually tell them, right, they got to start by seeing a fertility doctor to make sure everything is in working order downstairs.
Truth. We do. But now we also know of a way to get important fertility insight without going to the doctor. Or even leaving home, which I know
I love that. I love that.
Yeah. Modern fertility makes that possible with easy at-home fertility hormone testing.
Oh my God, this is really great because traditional testing with your doctor can cost over $1,000.
That's true.
But listen to this. Modern fertility only costs $159 to get the same information. So, and oh, by the way, if you have an HSA or an FSA, you can use those dollars on Modern Fertility. And if you go to modernfertility.com/OCT, you can get $20 off your test.
So it's you're saving. It's so good.
It's like savings on top of savings.
I know. And it's super easy. All you have to do is you give yourself a simple finger prick and you mail it in with a prepaid label and you'll get your personalized results within 10 days. And this is what you're going to get. You're going to get insight into how many eggs you have, which is important to know.
So important.
Your hormone levels, any reproductive red flags you might have, which you're definitely going to want to know. And the results go in depth into what every hormone means. And you can also, if you have questions, you can talk one-on-one with a fertility nurse to review your results and options for your next steps. So it's basically like going to the doctor, but you know.
And you never have to leave your house to do it, Jamie.
Exactly.
Come on. That's a win in my book.
I know it is. And like Robin said, right now, Modern Fertility is offering our listeners $20 off the test when you go to modernfertility.com/OCT. That means your test will cost $139 instead of the hundreds or thousands it could cost at a doctor's office.
That's right. Get $20 off your fertility test when you go to modernfertility.com/OCT.
Modernfertility.com/OCT.
Check your eggs.
Check those eggs. Are you still using the same first batch of embryos or you're onto new ones now?
No, we are onto new ones.
Donor number 4, maybe?
Oh, yeah. My God.
I do know that. The egg donors that we had used after the first one.
Oh, yeah.
Our fertility clinic was really helping us. They had women that had success, so they had women in their data bank, in their personal data bank. So we were just like, at this point, we didn't really care so much. We weren't trying to find
the
match.com perfection. Yeah. We were just like, oh, this person's great. She has a great family. She has an education, or she's an athlete, or whatever we wanted to, we felt a good person. Good family history. Anyway, but it just wasn't working.
Yeah, it just kept, strike after strike after strike. And then we got our third surrogate. She was the Super Bowl woman, and it didn't happen. And then we asked another one of our friends to do it. This was surrogate number four. She flew and got all the tests done. We found out that she couldn't have
her lining didn't grow thick enough.
Right.
So then, you know.
So we had switched doctors by then, and now our doctor was in Fort Worth. And I remember the woman calling me. We were in Miami. Sean and I had a huge fight that morning. And
it sounds like we fight a lot.
No, but it was
sounds like you were under pressure.
Yeah, the right. stress yeah. of dealing with this. And, you know, Sean was out playing tennis and I got the phone call from the doctor's office and she said, you know, unfortunately your surrogate is not going to be able to be a surrogate. And she said, what are you going to do? And I said, I have no clue. We are at ground zero. We are 4 years past. We are hundreds of thousands of dollars later. I don't even know if I had embryos at that time. And I was like, I have no idea. I have no idea what we're going to do. And she said, I want to be your surrogate. And I was like, what? I said, wait, you want to be our, do you know what you're offering? And she said, yeah, I absolutely do. Because, you know, I've wanted to be a surrogate for a while. My husband has always said, no, I read your file. She didn't know who Sean was. She said, I read your story and I just feel the need that to help you. And I think I can. And I couldn't speak. I was like, well, I have to ask Sean. Like, let me ask Sean.
Do you know this is the second time that we've had a gay man? We have one other story, this guy, David, the 50-year-old millennial, and he, like, six different surrogates. And the very last person who helped him was the woman working at the clinic, just like your story.
Oh, wow.
But it's, like, so shocking that these people exist and that they're just, like, on the phone with you and, like, I'm going to do it for you.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
Yeah.
And so this is the one that worked?
It was the one. So we were on the tennis courts because we love playing tennis. And I got the phone call from Ashley. She's like, hey, guys. And we're like, hey, Ashley, how are you? And she's like, I'm super pregnant. And we're like, what?
We have all these people around.
And also, you had to be gun shy at this point.
Yeah. That was try number 12.
Yeah. So we were like, we're not telling anybody. So we're on the plane back home and she sends a photo. With two little holes.
The little eggs.
Because she works at the clinic, right? So she can go in and check all the time. She was sending us ultrasounds all the time. It was the
best. I love her.
Yeah. She was like on her lunch break, like taking an ultrasound. Yes.
We would see like everything. Even to when their bones started to form. Like she would run in there and lay down and like. Yeah, take video God. For us with her phone. She's like doing all of it. It was amazing.
She is one of the
but
most
But she
amazing
knew
people.
That we were, I mean, we had such a stressful journey that she, I think in her mind, she wanted to kind of keep us emotionally stable. But
yeah.
she is That's... literally the best. And we're still talk to her.
She comes every year for the boys' birthdays.
Yeah, she's great.
Oh. I think it's really interesting that you guys talk about the fact that you know that each of you were a donor or, I don't know, bio dad. I don't even know what the right term
bio
is.
Bio dad.
Whatever, because most of the men that we've talked to, especially when it's like surrogacy, they say they don't tell people who's the dad or who's not. So I think it's interesting you talk about it.
About with our kids, our twins?
In general, in the open. Everyone we've interviewed will not talk about that. Like, they won't say
whose
who
kid
is the...
Who?
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean,
I have you seen our kids? Like, one is him
obvious.
And one is me. Like, there is no getting around that elephant in the room, if you were. And we are so honest with ourselves and with everyone. It's like, yeah, we put in one of each. Even though people always ask the question, we're like, yeah, one is his and one is mine.
Well, I don't say one is his and one is mine. I mean, I say they're our kids. Yeah. Like, if you hang out with us, you wouldn't be able to tell that. Like, it's not like we favor one over the other.
No,
sure.
Of course not.
But I think that's what people get, like, afraid about. Like, if they know, like, oh, this is the one you made and this is the one I made. I'm like, Sander looks exactly like me. Like, there's nothing, like, I wouldn't be able to deny him if I wanted to.
I think it takes the pressure off in a lot of ways. Because it's like with us, like, as two women, we're outed because, you know, but people feel very comfortable asking us, like, who had the baby. But it seems to be more invasive to ask who donated. For men, for some reason. I think it's curious.
Well, I think a lot of people are fascinated with the fact that you can have two different eggs that were fertilized by two different people. And then you put those embryos into another person.
Yep.
And then that person can birth two kids that have two different dads.
Yeah.
Like, I think they just... A lot of people just can't wrap their heads around the science.
Yeah.
But, you know, Robin and I are the same. We're open books about how our children were created. And Robin carried both of her and her wife's two children. And I carried one and my wife carried our other. And I do find that people come up to me, like my best friends will even say when I'm complaining about one of the kids, they'll even say, like, well-meaning people will say, oh, well, he's yours, so that makes sense. And I'm like, no.
It's like, no.
You know, because people come in with these preconceived notions and they keep it in their head. So I think that's why some people keep it to themselves, yeah, so that other people can't have these judgments about who's going to be the bigger parent to which kid, right, which is all just ridiculous.
Right. I think it's just they don't know any different, though. You know what I mean? It's like this is a whole new world for a lot, right, of people. I mean, that's part of the reason we like to talk about this stuff.
Up until, yeah, I don't know how many years ago, people were only having kids by having sex with each other, right? So,
right, it was, I mean, those really archaic dinosaurs of them.
I mean, who does it that way anymore?
So silly.
I know. So, you know, there was, like you said, there was never the conversation. And so now people are learning more about that other stuff.
Yep.
So
science is amazing. It is amazing.
I love science so much.
Speaking of science, it's like you guys had that tough journey. And then it didn't even end there. Your kids were born really premature,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So they were born 7.5 weeks early. I was sitting home one day and Ashley texts me in the morning and was like, well, she had been texting me the last couple of days in the middle of the night. I kind of took over that area of the journey. I would become, you know, her husband, if you will. Her husband's like, they're your kids, you can be up with her in the middle of the night. So anyway, I had known that her back was hurting and she was sleeping in a recliner chair and she was just very uncomfortable. Oh. One morning she texted me, she's like, I just feel like bad. And she went to work. And her boss, you know, obviously they work at a fertility clinic. So her boss is like, you need to go to the hospital. Their fertility clinic is right across the street from the hospital. So her friend puts her in an office chair and wheels her to the emergency room right across the street. It's pretty funny. So then she called me and actually put me on a phone with her coworker. And she said, I really believe that she's in labor. But Ashley was like, no, I got this. Like, I'm going to hold out. You know, she's thinking it's just a thing. And then later that day, I was taking a nap and she called me and she was like, you know, I think I got this. And I said, can you put the nurse on the phone? And the nurse was like, these babies are coming this weekend. So we hung up and I didn't do anything yet. But then Ashley called back and she was like, yeah, we need to, you guys should get to Dallas. So Scott was driving and I knew he was driving. So I was like, I'm gonna wait till he gets home. I'm not gonna tell him that's why he's in the car. He walks in the house and I was like, our kids are coming tonight. And that was at 4:30 and we...
On a 7:30 flight.
It was an 8:30 flight because they were born at 11, 8:13.
Okay, yeah.
So, But so anyway.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, so we're, you know, he like runs next door to his parents' house. He's like, do you guys want to go in there? Like, yes. And then everyone's like packing a small little duffel bag. We're in the car to the airport. Ashley, our surrogate, her husband, Michael, is calling us on the phone like, guys, like, you are not going to make it. She was like, they were like, they're about to like take her into the room now and have a C-section. We'll try to hold out until you get to the airport. So we get to the airport. Our flight is at 8:30 or whatever. I was like, call me, FaceTime me as soon as, you know, they take her in and things are about to happen. So we just get through security and they FaceTime us and it just all went down. Like we're like around our phone, my phone, and we're all like, just like, oh my gosh, like watching this thing happen.
There's the first one.
Oh my God.
Oh my God.
There's the second one.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Just like in an airport.
At the airport.
Yeah.
And then here's the thing, and I'll never stop being annoyed about this. So I told his parents, I said, listen, pack one bag, make sure your bags can go on the airplane. And of course, one of them packs a bag and then has to go under. So then we get off the plane. You know, when you want to see your kids for the first time, yeah, now we got to wait at baggage claim. And I was like, so mad, y'all.
Oh, I can't.
I'm surprised you didn't leave them there.
I'm still mad about it. Anyway, so but what was really cool is it's fine now, yeah, but we get in the car, we get to the hospital. And we thought it was really important for us to see Ashley first, even though, yeah, we were like super excited to see our kids. They wouldn't let her hold the babies, right? Because that's just, yeah, kind of like how it is. So we made sure we stopped to see her first, right? Because, yeah, we just didn't want to be like, we're going straight to the kids and like things. So we stopped to see her. She was like so cool, and, yeah, her mom came back with us and filmed us like see our boys for the first time. So it was kind of like that. We had that, you know, connection that was really cool. And then, you know, they were in the NICU. Ashley came to see them. I actually had to travel for work one day. And Ashley had gotten better over the course of like a week. And she went to the hotel, let him sleep, and she took care of the twins.
Oh, my God. She's so amazing, this lady.
Love Ashley.
Yeah. And then they brought, she brought her whole family up there. The kids met the boys, held them. And, you know, so, and it's still to this day, like, we're like their extended family. Like, they get it. They know they helped this family. And it was, and what I thought was really amazing, especially because in times of, you know, just like the separation or divide in our country, you know, we had these kids in Texas, which is a predominantly red state, I believe. But, you know, her kids, she told me, she was like, my kids never thought it was weird that it was two guys. And she was like, I was just really happy that her, she was happy to her and her husband never made it a big deal that it was like, I'm having, we're having these kids for these two guys. She was like, we're having these kids for these two people. Mm.
Are you closer with the surrogate or the egg donor?
We've never met the egg donor.
Oh, completely really? Anonymous.
Yeah.
In the contract, like there has to be something that she approves the children to be able to contact her after 18 years, right? After they're 18 years old. So yeah. I think she put that she's okay with that.
Yeah, I'd have to check.
It does, but you know, I know who she is, but she doesn't know who we are.
Oh, right. That's interesting.
Oh, because you, you're stealth like that and you figured it out.
He's stealth. Very
because like
stealth.
For me, I was like, when I read somebody's profile, I'm like, I need to find that person. And she is like the bomb. I don't know. It'd be cool to meet her one day.
Yeah, but I'd love to.
That's just like sperm donors too. That's what we have. Yeah, when the kids turn 18, they're allowed to contact them.
What was that movie? The movie where the kids found the...
The kids are all
right. The kids are all right.
Oh my gosh, that movie.
We don't want that though. That broke up the marriage. We're not looking for that.
I'm just saying that, that movie was just like, it was a really interesting movie because that was before I even thought about, you know, having kids like that.
And that's why we have this podcast, because there are so many factors that go into making our families. There are no two stories that are the same, not a single one. And we have four seasons so far, and not a single one has really been the same at all.
Jamie, we have five seasons.
Five seasons. I was going to say over four.
Don't get it twisted, people. They've been here for five seasons, okay? All right. Make sure you go back and listen to all the episodes.
Thank you, Sean.
What Sean T said.
I love it. Yeah. And they're not the same. Mm-mm. So it's really important that we tell our stories. Big time.
Sean was asked by, we were very fortunate to be on the cover of Parents Magazine and our family as, I think we were the first gay couple ever. Because of the response, they came to us and asked Sean to be a co-host with Julia Dennison, who is the executive director of Parents.com. And they have bonded and been able to put together a podcast called We Are Family. And you can tell them about just some things.
Well, I think what's really amazing and interesting is that it is about all different types of families, but also all different types of people that were put into families, like from foster children all the way to families where, you know, parents had to raise trans kids and they're coming out at different times. And then celebrities kind of tell their stories of parenthood and just kind of like blended type of families. It's really cool. And the thing that I love most about it is that they're so progressive and LGBTQ friendly. Like, they really want everyone to feel welcomed on our podcast. And again, like, just like Parents Magazine, I love the magazine. I love their social media. We have this thing that we talk about on the podcast a lot, which is because we talk about raising families, and there's no right or wrong way to raise your family, because behind closed doors, we all have a different way. And within the world of social media, there's this idea that you have to be perfect and please everyone. And on the podcast, we make a point that's like, hey, everyone grows up differently. Behind closed doors, everyone has different types of communication. And so we really explore all different types of families, from, you know, the parents, the children, the couples. We talk to surrogates. I mean, it's really amazing.
That's awesome. I think everybody needs to go listen. We Are Family.
And it's on all podcast platforms, I believe, correct?
I believe it is. You also, and if we can also put in a small plug for his own personal podcast.
Please do.
Trust and Believe with Sean T. That's my podcast. Every week I do an interview with someone of all different walks of life, like any kind of person, every kind of person. I actually just interviewed my very first trans person. This guy is amazing and incredible. Interview Robin Roberts. She's wonderful. And then on Fridays, I also do what I like to call my solo shows, where I'm just motivating people to learn how to trust and believe in who they are, whether it be through their workouts, through their families, relationships, or just their own personal journeys.
I love that. I mean, I already have you in my ear consistently, especially during this pandemic, because I can't go to the gym.
Right.
So it's me and Shanti. It's me and Shanti every day. And you're motivating me, and you're a good motivator, my friend.
And guys, don't be scared. If you look outside and Jamie's standing outside of your window waving, just don't be scared. Just close the curtains.
When you walk in, you got to work out and dig deep.
I'm ready to dig deep, dig deep. I'm going to sweat with you, Shanti. No, I will be outside that window doing burpees.
I'm fine with that. You can add to the line that's already out there.
I prefer a power jump.
I'm glad that you guys didn't give up, because you seem like absolutely amazing guys who would make absolutely amazing dads. And it would have been a complete shame if you had quit at any point in time. So I'm glad that Scotty B kept the train moving and Shanti kept the positivity flowing and took the late night calls, because now you got two amazing kids.
I know.
We post a lot about our family on social media. I want a TV show.
Who doesn't? Let's make one together.
Let's do it together.
We should all move to the same cul-de-sac and just...
We're going to live in the transformation center. Oh. That's fine.
Would be something.
Yes, it would be.
And you guys already have a team, so they'll take our kids. This is great.
Slow down, Robin.
How about that?
Well, thank you guys so much for sharing your story. It's amazing. I'm so glad you shared it with us.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us. Yeah. We appreciate it.
We love you, ladies. When we can hang out, we should.
It would be fun.
Yes.
Where are you guys?
We're in Phoenix.
Oh, I'm gonna go there. I'm coming. I'm gonna do my power jumps.
We're jumping in an RV with his mom and dad and all of us, and we're heading to Seattle because it's getting hot here, and his parents do watch the boys, and like this heat and everything is getting crazy. But we're gonna jump in an RV and travel up to Seattle.
If you want to see mayhem, follow Sean on social. It's at Sean T. I'm sure he's going to put something together, and you're going to see.
Well, I'll put it on my YouTube channel.
I'm sure it's going to be crazy.
Of course. How old are they?
Literally 2.5.
That's my kids too. We had our sons at the same time, 2.5. And I can't imagine an RV with him right now.
with grandparents. It's just like, that's everything.
You know, they like to run around. I'm like,
oh yeah.
We're going to have to literally stop
every
couple hours and be like, go find a place for them.
I know. Well, we're going to check that out. We're going to check that out.
Thank you.
We appreciate it so much.
Shanti.
Oh my God.
I love him.
Shanti and Scotty B.
Scotty B.
They're so wonderful. And you know what? I thought I had a hard journey. That's a journey and a half to make those
babies.
But
you know what I loved is how like, Scott would be starting to say something was maybe like a little hard on himself. And then Shanti would be like, I'm going to stop you right now. And I want to acknowledge you for it. Was just like, they were so cute how they talked.
They're good to each
transformation
other.
Center.
Yeah. We got to take that time.
We got to get a transformation
we
center,
do.
Jamie.
Can we get one of those?
I don't think so.
I do want to highlight one thing that really resonated with me with this episode, because you guys you didn't hear it in the episode because it probably got cut out, because that happens a lot. But,
because sometimes we just don't stop talking.
Yeah, sometimes. The boys and I realized that we went to the same fertility doctor, the first doctor we each used. Mm-hmm. And throughout their journey, this particular doctor, which he said the same exact thing to me throughout my journey when I had a hard time getting pregnant, he kept saying, I look at this as a scientific formula. And if something's not right, you have to change one piece of the formula. And we kept changing things in the science of it. And they... Mm-hmm. Just like me, finally, in the end, ended up switching doctors, which is kind of ironic. Because
that's the thing we're going to change is you.
Yeah, we both ended up switching doctors. And for me, I feel like that's really what was the major thing that changed things for me. And I finally got pregnant shortly after changing doctors. And they got pregnant on the second doctor, too. So I just think that it's just really important to highlight that. And for everybody, like, if it's not working, if you're struggling and you're trying to figure out what else you can do to change things, that's always an option. And that's sometimes even the hardest option to take, because you feel like you owe this doctor so much.
Yep.
But you don't. And they don't take it personal. Well, I don't think. I never really talked to him about it.
Who cares? You didn't go back to him. You don't have to see his face.
Right. So, but you know, like.
I think it's just a good reminder to listen to your gut.
Yeah. That's what I was going to say. Trust your instinct. My instinct was telling me this wasn't the right doctor, like pretty early on, but I stuck with him because he had gotten my wife pregnant and our daughter was made from him. So But yeah. I should have trusted my instinct way earlier than I did. So I just want to highlight that. And it's just interesting that they went through the same thing. So I want to say that.
Okay.
I'm going to get off my soapbox now.
You step down.
I'm going to step down.
Okay. All right. Don't forget, guys, that you can pre-order our book, just the Kindle version right now. And you can pre-order that on Amazon. But it is out in all forms, in all most major retailers, September 22nd. So be on the lookout for that bad boy.
September 22nd. You should all.
It's coming. It's going to be here before you know it.
Just be ready to buy that book. Like, just be ready.
Mark it on your calendar.
Mark it on your calendar. And then, like, support us on the social and be like, did you buy your book yet?
Okay, now we're asking for too much. Yeah. We always do. We always just step.
Helen's already yelling at us. Just light the cigarette, Helen. Light it. We also have to talk about, we've been starting some partnerships to offer our listeners discounts. And our first partnership is with Mira. They make a fabulous ovulation and fertility tracker, and you can get $25 off the starter kit. So you just have to go to ovariestalk.com to get that discount. You'll see it there. Go check it out.
And let's keep this conversation going. Join us on the social. Yes. Ovaries Talk on Twitter, ovaries_talk on Insta. We're about to hit 2,000 followers on Instagram, Jamie. I don't know if you noticed. I'm very excited about that. If These Ovaries Could Talk on Facebook, join our community there, and you can talk to other listeners. And you could join our community on Patreon, patreon.com/ovariestalk for bonus content. Lastly, subscribe to us on YouTube to catch up on Ovaries Talk live streams.
That was really good. Actually, you froze, so I missed like the whole middle part. But I think you said we're about to hit 2,000 followers on Insta. What?
I did. It's very exciting.
Oh my God. Go follow us, guys. We like followers.
Thank you to our sponsors, Modern Fertility and the new podcast Kids These Days, for helping to make the show a possibility. We really appreciate you all.
Thank you so much. You guys stay healthy out there. Stay safe. We always say, don't touch your face. Keep up the fight. I have to say it again. Black Lives Matter. Trans Black Lives Matter. This struggle's not over.
No. Oh, okay. All right, everyone. Happy Pride. Eggs.
Ovaries.
And out. I hear my kids coming up the stairs. It's just in time. Good day.
If these ovaries could talk, they would say, ovaries out.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices. Plus, extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.